Father, there's something so profound that you're wanting to start to take us and share with us about the death and resurrection of your Son Jesus. Far beyond just the knowledge, far beyond just the understanding. But you're taking us into truly the foundation of all the apostolic letters of Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection. And from what your Son has done and who he is, all those letters are written in the power of the Holy Spirit. And you are helping us to be able to understand not only the ministry of reconciliation, but the message of reconciliation. So we need, Holy Spirit, you to teach us about the blood of Jesus Christ. We need you to take us and give us not just the understanding, but more than that, for us to be able to live in the reality more and more than what we are right now experiencing and living in. We want to go into the fullness of the power of the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We understand when Paul says, and I want to know, he's not yet got it fully, but he's continually having a desire to know more about the death and resurrection and the life of Christ Jesus. And we thank you as you share with us by your Spirit this morning. Jesus, we're having communion later on, and it's about you and what you have done. And so therefore, teach us your heart, teach us your ways, teach us this morning, Lord, so much of what you did for mankind and for creation. And we depend on you this morning, and not only today, but forever. We're depending on you to really guide us and to teach us the reality of the fullness of who you are. And this we ask, Father, in and through Jesus Christ, who's redeemed us with his blood. Amen. Amen. We've been speaking for a while now from that 2 Corinthians chapter 5 about the ministry and the message of reconciliation, but the motive is Christ's love that compels us. And so we've been asking the Holy Spirit to really help us as a body of Christ to really become more and more one with Christ's love within us, because he lives within us. And to really be able to live our lives consciously loving with his love. And so that's the progression, that's the growth for us, that's what we're learning. And as we go on, we become very aware of the self-centeredness and all these things, and that's part of the Holy Spirit revealing the difference between our own love and Christ's love, because he's not selfish at all. He gave his life while we were still sinners. And we see the heart of the Father in all of this. And so we're learning as we look at our community, as we look at one another, as we deal with people all around us, we are learning that the ministry and the message comes from the source of Christ's love. And so we're wanting to, whatever we do, whatever we say, we're wanting it to be so established and rooted in the love of Jesus Christ. So that's the growth. That's what we're busy looking at in the context of abiding in me and my word abiding in you'll bear much fruit, because it's to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. And so all of this is connected to you and I just becoming more fruitful as God prunes us, and so that we can become more fruitful where he's placed us, whatever town or our nation that we are living in. So that's sort of been, over the couple of weeks while you guys have been away, what we've been dealing with. And so we're starting to look at, last Sunday was beginning to look at, how do we pray? What does a prayer of reconciliation look like from the love of Christ compelling us? And that will take quite a bit of time to meditate and to ask the Holy Spirit to really open up, so that we can start almost like rewriting our prayers, in a sense, you know, reforming our prayers from just how we normally pray, but really beginning to understand what has Christ done? What will the prayers of reconciliation from His love for all mankind, what will these words sound like now? And that's what we're busy getting insight to. And so this morning we want to look a little bit more about the reality of the blood of Jesus Christ and understanding a little bit more of His physical death, His body and His resurrection, and to help us to understand the message, to understand the words, to understand the ministry a little bit better. So this is why we're all learning. When my father showed me that Jesus Christ is the answer for our nation, that's foolishness. It's like, oh, come on, you know, really? But because I didn't understand the power of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And more we're getting understanding as the Holy Spirit starts to help us so that we can apply it by faith and start to see more and more that Jesus is the answer for a nation because of His blood that speaks a better word than the blood that has been sacrificed to whatever other gods that we do that in our nations. So we're busy looking at these things as we go forwards. As I prayed earlier on, all the letters that we read in the New Testament from the different writers, the apostles that wrote the letters, all of them are writing from the revelation and from the understanding of the power of Christ's death and resurrection. So when they speak about this is how you need to live and this is all the way, walking in the light and all of that is rooted in what Christ has done. So that's why if we bypass what Christ has done, that will be quite hard and legalistic and tough to be able to do because there's no power in that. But when it comes from what Christ has done, there's the power, there's the grace of God that enables us to be able to live as children of God, as in the light. So it's important to understand that because it'll help when we read the New Testament, it'll really help us to understand it's not just laws and rules and regulations, but there's life. It's a life, the law of the Spirit of life that's operating because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done. And that's crucial because when we're discipling people, sometimes they don't understand what Christ has done. They don't have a starting point. And so we're trying to disciple them from another place there where they're not yet rooted in who they are, what Christ has done, and the incredible reality of having died with Him and been raised with Him and the life of the Holy Spirit. So we're discipling and now applying the discipline of that, denying the life of it, denying the substance of what Christ has done. So it's just to help us as we have the message of reconciliation to know there's a starting point. What our Lord Jesus Christ is, and the gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ that the Father has given to us. And that's why for instance, in 1 Corinthians 1, when Paul is speaking about, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. So we see again the heartbeat of the message of the apostles, the incredible reality of the cross, not with any human wisdom, because dealing a lot with the Greeks and all that there, and they liked this wisdom and all this knowledge, and that because that's the way their education was. And Paul says, no, I'm not speaking like that, because I don't want power, the truth, the central reality of the good news of God to be nullified with all my own wisdom and my own understanding. It has to rely totally on what God has revealed and in the power of the Holy Spirit, nothing more. So Paul remained very basic on what Christ has done for them, and everything else is flowing from what Christ Jesus has done in His death and resurrection. Because He did not want to empty. And this is why we need to make sure as we start to disciple folk that we're not adding anything else onto it. Because it's now making the power of the cross sort of neutralized. It's not operating. It's removing the power of that. And that's why we go back and make sure that our discipling is established as a starting point in our Lord Jesus Christ, what He has done on the cross. And this is why we want to spend a little bit more time just giving some more insight on the reality of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And we will look at some Old Testament scriptures now. So he says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but for us who are being saved, it is the power of God." God spoke and creation came, the power of God. So we want to know more. We want him to be able to live as we minister reconciliation, as we speak the message of reconciliation, that the power of God is operating. That's anointing of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit that is now really doing the work, and we are part of that. So it's part of our walk now in the time that we're in. So in chapter 2, again, I was going to read another scripture, chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. "We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. Now we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden, that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of the age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, it is written, 'No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him.' But God has revealed to us by his Spirit." And so again, here we see the incredible message that you and I have. And he goes on and he says, "I come to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on man's wisdom, but on God's power." And this is the crux of the matter, that when we share the gospel, we don't want for people to emotionally respond. We want them to have a powerful Holy Spirit encounter, that they may know that Jesus Christ is real. The Father is real. And it's so real to them that they believe and they receive. No other way. And so Holy Spirit's helping us to not add in philosophies, not add in wisdom, not add in all the other stuff over there, but totally understanding that the centrality of the cross of Jesus Christ, God so loved the world, and the depth of all of that that we all look at over the period of time. We also, in Colossians chapter 1, which is going to be more of our text this morning, in Colossians chapter 1, where we see over here what God has done. And we sang a song about the blood speaks a better word for us. When we speak about the blood of Christ, very often the focus is on the blood, and we forget whose blood it is. That's important. It's Christ's blood. And that's why it mustn't, "Oh, the blood. We've got to realize, but whose blood this is? The sinless Son of God. It's His blood. That's why it's so powerful. That's why it's different to our human blood. And that's important for us to understand as we go on. So we see here, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin." You see, the blood of Christ speaks a far better word, because we're no longer in the dominion of darkness. We're now in the kingdom of the Son that he loves. And then he goes on and he starts to share about the supremacy of Christ. "And for him, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him." So when we're dealing about reconciliation, we've got to put into our understanding that in Christ he has created all things. And it's for him, and that's part of the reconciliation ministry. "He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church, and is in the beginning, and he is the beginning, and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. And then he carries on here. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. That's going to be an important truth for us this morning. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, he, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through his death to present you holy and blameless. Now that is such an incredible truth this morning for us. Here we see, speaking about his physical body, he's the humanity of Jesus Christ, and the death of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. What do we see here? To present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation if you continue in your faith. So here we see something profound about the blood of Jesus and about the body and the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. We see something profound about what it has done, that he is now able to present you and I who believe blameless and faultless before God the Father. The blood speaks a better word. In Hebrews chapter 12, you start to see there about the blood of Christ speaking a better word. So in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9, again, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity live in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. Now when you were dead in your sins, and in your uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. He forgave us all our sins. That's important because here he's speaking to people well after the death of Jesus Christ. So we see there was an event in the death of Jesus Christ that God has forgiven. But they had to then apply that, they had to appropriate it in their now moment, so it's a now reality to receive what God has done for them. And that's important because a lot of people will speak about the universalism of Christ's death and all roads lead to heaven kind of thing. But no, although God has reconciled the whole world to himself, not counting sin against them, that's a fact. But that people still need to believe in Christ Jesus, receive Christ Jesus, to be able to appropriate and to receive what Christ has done, in what the Father done through his Son, Jesus Christ. And that's crucial, because otherwise you will find there that many, many people say, well, now I don't need to, God has really forgiven my sin, I can just live like I live and carry on living. No, that's not what it's about. And so there's a correction that you might have to help people understand, because quite a few people believe when they read these scriptures that's okay, I don't need, Christ is already done, I've been forgiven. It's by faith we receive the gift of righteousness. It's by faith in Christ Jesus that we receive salvation. And so he carries on and he said over there, he forgave all our sins, having cancelled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing them by the cross. Now, by the Holy Spirit, began to travel in this truth for quite a while in you and I beginning to just get more understanding and more insight of what Paul is writing over here about the blood and the death of Jesus Christ. Okay, but this morning I'd like to go back to what we speak about here in the reconciling work of Jesus, the atoning work of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we speak there in 1 John chapter 2. And we see then verse 2 that the blood of Christ has atoned. God has, through Christ Jesus, He's made atonement for the sins of the whole world. In that 2 Corinthians chapter 5, again, we see that in Christ God was reconciling the world to Himself, not holding their sin against them. So we see this incredible truth of reconciliation. We see this incredible truth of atonement. And I'd like us just to get a basic insight to something profound, to get a better understanding of why Christ's blood speaks a better word than Abel's blood. Why does his blood speak a better word? Cain killed Abel, and the blood of Abel cried out, probably for revenge. And that. But it's interesting to understand this because in the Hebrew, the word there, the blood of Abel speaks out, is in the plural. So it's not just Abel's blood. It's all the offspring that should have come from Abel's line. All speaking out. Very, very important. Because we look at a lot of murders, we look at a lot of abortions, we look at a lot of things that take place, and we forget that now we've cut off the future generations that should have come from that. The blood speaks. And now we need another blood that's more powerful than the blood that's speaking revenge. We need the blood of Jesus. Okay, and this is what's important for us when we start to learn how to pray. How do we pray, Lord Jesus, let your blood speaks a better word for us as believers. Your blood speaks a better word for our nation. What does it mean? Where's the faith? What's the revelation? And this is what we're asking the Holy Spirit to help us to understand what this really means. So, in Leviticus chapter 16, a long time ago, I spoke about the two goats. I don't know if you remember that on the two goats. But we need to just refresh that over there because it'll help us understand how in the Old Testament, the Day of Atonement was such an incredible insight to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and how His blood speaks a better word. And so it was all there ready in the festival of the Day of Atonement. And that's in Leviticus 16. In Leviticus chapter 4, we see there that there's the normal sin offering that takes place. In the Day of Atonement, it's a sin offering, but it's the only time where something else takes place, and that's where the two goats come in. So the normal sin offering, when there was different animals, if it was a priest, it was another animal. If it was a leader, it was another kind of animal. But for the people of Israel, it was a goat. Okay? And as we know, in the normal sin offering, there the goat was presented there, and there the guilty person had to lay hand, and then the priest would renounce, and that confess the sin of that person, and it'll now be transferred onto that goat. So that goat was now the substitute. That goat now was going to carry that person's sin. Then that goat was killed. And that's important because now the blood of that goat was now placed on the horns of the altar. The blood of that goat was also placed on the horns of the altar of incense in the presence of God. But that blood stayed there. That blood was not removed. So that blood placed on those horns, speaking about the guilt and the sin of the person, that stayed in the presence of God. So that blood continuously speaks about the sin, the iniquity, the transgression of the offender in the presence of God. It's still there. Okay, that's why we read there in Hebrews chapter 10. Oh, let's go to Hebrews 9. In Hebrews chapter 9, where we speak about the blood of Jesus Christ, we see there in Hebrews 9, verse 13. Well, let's go to verse 11. When Christ came as high priest of the good things that are already done, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made, that is to say, not part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption, the blood of the goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean, sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts of that lead to death so that we may serve the living God. And then he carries on there and he speaks about the blood of these animals was not able to clean. And he carries on, it would have stopped if it worked well for them over there. That what was repeated endlessly, because it could not make perfect those who draw near to worship. If it could, they would have stopped it. For the worshipper would have been cleansed once and for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sin. But the sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins, because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. So we get an insight here that when the blood is placed onto that horns of that altar, it stays there. And there's nothing that could take place to remove that blood, to remove the sins that was now in the presence of God. So that blood still speaks. Now in the Day of Atonement, that was the only day where the two goats, so that the blood of the sinner can be removed from the presence of God. And this is what takes place on the Day of Atonement, where now there are the two goats. But it's fascinating, in the normal Day of Atonement, remember, the sinner would lay hands, and then the sin will be upon that goat will be slaughtered. Now, in this Day of Atonement, it's not that. The first goat, it's a goat presented unto the Lord, and that goat, nobody lays hands on it. It's unblemished. It's innocent. That's why it's always an unblemished animal that they use for sacrifice, representing the innocence of the animal. And then, so the blood, that first goat, representing Jesus Christ, dies. It's slaughtered. But it is, no one has laid hands on it because it's innocent. It's pure. It's not going to be contaminated with the sins of people. Okay? It's representing the sinlessness of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's slaughtered. Now what takes place? The second goat. This is where the second goat, now the sins of the whole community, now the priest now lays hands on it, and the second goat, that's where the sins are now taken upon, that goat now takes that sin upon themselves. Now what takes place? Now there's the pure, innocent, unblemished goat's blood placed on the horns of the altar. Now what takes place? The other goat where the sin has been transferred to now gets removed outside. Only this time is the sin removed from the presence of God. That's what it represented. It's now outside. So now what's left in the place of the previous normal Day of Atonement, normal sin offering, where it was the blood of the sinners, blood of Abel speaks, the blood of humanity speaks, the sinners there, speaking, they could not be cleansed from that sin, speaking in the presence of God. Now in the Day of Atonement, in the grace of God, it's now innocent blood is shed over there. sins are transferred to the other goat, the goat's God, and all that's left is that blood of that innocent goat, the blood of Jesus Christ. See, this is the blood of Christ that's now speaking on our behalf. This is the atoning blood. This is the blood that has removed our sin. Nothing else could remove the sin. And that's why the second goat represents the removal of the sin. Here we see Jesus saying, no, here my blood speaks on you over there. I'm going to the Mount of Gethsemane. I'm going to get crucified over there. And that's why it's in the spiritual realm. And that's important for us now, to know that in what we read in Colossians 1, and we see that through the physical body of our Lord Jesus Christ, what took place, He has then made us blameless and perfect before Him there. Let me read it again. But now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith. What do we see in Revelation 12 when the enemy is accusing the brethren? What do we see over there? They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Can you see how the blood speaks? Because the blood of Christ now has made us blameless before our Heavenly Father. So now all of a sudden when we start to realize as the enemy accuses and you start to think about all our past and all those things there, we stop straight away because we're appropriating, the blood is speaking a better word for us, what Christ has done. Now we are presented before our Father blameless, spotless, pure because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, we're still going through the process of sanctification, but we're dealing with how the Father sees us through His Son Jesus. And so now we overcome by the blood of that Lamb because the blood speaks what He has done, but also we are now testifying, we're in agreement with what the blood speaks. It's not our personal testimony about how we led someone to Jesus or something like that. We're testifying, we're in agreement with what the blood has done for you and I. So the blood continuously speaks for us. There's so much more that the Holy Spirit wants to unlock over here for you and I. Back to Hebrews. Gang, let me read verse 10. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifice, repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Only the blood of Christ makes us perfect before our Father. Only the blood of Jesus. When we are discipling somebody in our own lives, when we begin to grow more in this, and you wake up in the morning, for instance, and you can begin to realize, but Lord Jesus, God is holy. And if there's sin, holiness has to respond to that sin. He's a just God. He's a righteous God. But He's also a loving, merciful, compassionate God. How is His nature, who He is, going to be satisfied? Who is ever going to satisfy Him? And satisfying His holiness, satisfying His righteousness, satisfying His love, satisfying He's a merciful God, His compassion, satisfying the reality that He's pure. Who's going to ever be able to satisfy that? No man can do that. And then we see the incredible sinlessness of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. His death, His blood is pure. His blood is not from Adam. His blood is pure. We see how only in Christ is the Heavenly Father satisfied. Only in Christ Jesus. So what a joy when you and I start a day, but Lord, what a joy that you are totally satisfied with me. Because I'm in your Son, Jesus Christ. What a joy to live like that. What a joy to start a day understanding that in you, Lord God, I'm this new creation. Father, you are totally satisfied because of Jesus. What a joy to understand when John writes in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, where he speaks about the reality that the blood of Christ has, we've been forgiven, but the blood of Christ continuously purifies us from all unrighteousness. What a joy knowing that the blood of Christ Jesus is continually working in our lives and busy making us more and more part of the sanctification, more and more like Christ Jesus in his image. What a joy to not wake up and say, oh my goodness, I'm such a bad person. I know a lot of people that that's their language. They believe is, oh, I've done this wrong. I'm this, I'm that, I'm, oh, blah, 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 blah. Never waking up to realize, but God, you are fully satisfied for me because I'm in your Son, Jesus. It's a different mindset. It's a different way of looking into the day, moving into the day. What a joy when we mess up and we make mistakes to be able to stop and say, Lord God, in your Son, you are fully satisfied. Thank you for, I've messed up over here and I just thank you, Jesus, just forgive me for doing this. Thank you that your blood is continually purifying me from all these sins. Thank you for the power of the cross. What a joy to apply these things. What a joy when you're praying for other people that are believers. To no longer look at them from an earthly human point of view. But what a joy to know that they're in Christ and the Father is fully satisfied with them. Imagine the prayers of reconciliation, the prayers. Sometimes we just like the disciples where should we call down fire and let them be destroyed. So it's helping us to understand how the blood of Christ speaks a better word for us. And it says to the Father, my blood has atoned for their sin. My blood has redeemed them. My blood has purified them. My blood has made them holy, acceptable to you. Speaking on our behalf. Christ intercedes before the Father. Romans 8. For you and I, the great high priest. So there's a lot here that we don't yet fully understand, or there's a lot that we don't understand at all. But we're beginning to realize that now in heaven, we're no longer the Day of Atonement in the Old Testament. We've had Christ, the real sacrifice. His blood speaks. And it's our sins have been removed. So when you read many scriptures, if you want to go at some scriptures there, you can read quite a few scriptures. There's in Romans chapter 11 verse 27 and 1 John 3 verse 5, it speaks about how Christ has removed our sins from us. So there's a lot there that what he has done. So as we have communion this morning, I think it would be wise to ask, Lord, we want understanding. We want to know more about the power of your blood. We don't want to live our lives here missing out what you have done. We don't want to just plan with getting us soles of our feet wet in the truth of what you have done and your sacrifice for mankind. We want to live in the fullness of that. And let's do that. So Father, we want to thank you this morning. We ask by your Holy Spirit as we just have communion with you, Jesus. Share with us. What a privilege to know that your blood speaks. Help us to listen. Help us to hear the voice of your blood. Your blood is full of life. It's life-giving. Your blood, Lord Jesus, your sacrifice, your body, satisfied the Father's holiness. It satisfied His wrath. Satisfied His love for all to be reconciled. We want to thank You that Your blood speaks peace. And now we have peace with the Father because of Your blood. We shout peace, peace. And we cry peace treaties. But Your blood speaks peace. And we ask that You will help us to not only in our own lives live in the reality of peace, but how do we minister peace into lives? The power of Your peace. Your blood speaks that. Lord, Your blood speaks incredible truth of adoption, of sonship. Your blood speaks that You've taken us out of the dominion of darkness. You've taken out of the law of sin and death. And Your blood says otherwise. Your blood says life. Your blood says family. Your blood says acceptance. Your blood communicates so much. Teach us, Lord Jesus, teach us. Teach us how to move in this with our families, for one another. Teach us how to pray this for our community, for the schools, the children. Lord, teach us how to pray and how to minister in the area of each individual's incredible destiny in life, their purpose in life, why You've created them. Teach us how to minister the power of Your death, Lord, and Your resurrection. So that which was captured by sin and the fall can be released and be in Your kingdom and redeemed in Your blood, Jesus, so that our young people, our youth, can really understand and to live in what You have for their lives, Lord. Teach us, Lord Jesus, how to pray destiny. Teach us how to pray destiny for one another and for our nation. I'm asking, Holy Spirit, won't You in our intercession when we're here in our quiet times at home, I'm asking that You will really just mentor us and disciple us in the intercession of reconciliation. Help us to be able to begin to write down and to almost craft a message that we can begin to practice and to speak. A message of reconciliation. Help us to understand how You've taken away and removed our sins. Lord, there are many people that we know that the animal sacrifice is so real to them. It's part of life. Help us to have a message to be able to share the incredible animal sacrifice that the two goats represented, what the bull, unblemished bull represents, what the lamb represents. Help us to be able to see the incredible gospel in all of this, to share the sacrifice of all sacrifices that have brought about redemption. Teach us, Lord Jesus. So as we eat and drink with You, we want to thank You. What You've done for us. But we know that we like at the beginning of an amazing journey of discovery. We're at the beginning of something that is life-giving for this nation. And we thank You. Lord, any thought that comes into our mind that You are not the answer and that the gospel, the power of the cross is foolishness. It doesn't make sense. We ask that you help us to recognize those subtle thoughts so that we can quickly take those thoughts captive and to begin to renew our mind as you teach us the power of the cross. You spoke there to Paul, and Paul said, I want to know nothing. The only thing that I want to preach is Christ crucified, his death and his resurrection. That's where the power is. We thank you. We want to live in that truth, Lord. So teach us, Holy Spirit, things that are we've added on, that's clouding us, that's tripping us up, things that are not in line with just the purity of the good news, the purity of your death and resurrection, Lord. Let that be stripped from us, that we can walk in your truth and your truth alone. So this is what we're asking, Lord. We're asking this so that we can be more fruitful. We're asking this, Father, that we can be involved with you and the Holy Spirit and with you, Jesus, in touching lives so that the people in our towns and our nation will get to know that you are truly the real God, who you are. Lord, we want to move beyond just the words and actions that is Christian actions. We want to live and move in the reality of the power that comes from your death and resurrection. Thank you for the anointing of your Holy Spirit upon us. Thank you for your grace upon us. So today, Father, we receive such an anointing of your Holy Spirit that you're giving to us to be able to really live in the power of the cross and minister that. Thank you, Lord. As we go into this week, thank you that it's going to be the situation where our mind may say impossible, but we've received today Holy Spirit's anointing from you, Father, to be able to share what may seem foolishness, but is powerful to bring salvation. Thank you for your grace this week. In Jesus and through you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.